Have your eyes over there. So, the rest of you grab your Bibles, the book of Matthew, chapter 7. We're going to finish off here this first section of the letters in red. We're talking about the words of Christ. And we're going to kind of get back into the swing of things here. And Jesus here is wrapping up the Sermon on the Mount. We talked about several weeks ago now, talking about Jesus ministering and here's preaching a sermon, and it was unlike what the Pharisees taught. You know, they were usually going to the synagogue and hearing a lesson, and often what it was is here's the law, and you know, the Jewish system was very concerned over what you did, not necessarily why. And Jesus kind of parts through all of that, and Jesus looks at the heart, and I'm thankful for that. You know, and in some ways it's easier, in some ways it's harder, right? Because sometimes we can fake it. I know none of you ever do that. But if you ever felt like you're just kind of going through the motions, and as long as you were just doing the right thing, you know, no one really cared as long as it was done. But other times, you know, I've just struggled, and I've tried my best, and, you know, the criticisms come, and you feel like such a failure sometimes, and yet I'm glad God knows my heart. You know, he knew I'm trying. He knows where I've come from. He knows all these things. And Jesus cuts through all that. That Jesus is saying that basically with God, he wants more than just a bunch of rules and regulations, but he wants us to have a heart for him. And then all these things come after that. Right? Because we love him, we change. Because we love him, we do certain things. And so he gets down to the end here, and he starts talking about, really, I think this is such a practical bit. You know, Jesus is talking about, you know, murder, and talking about, well, being hateful in your heart, it's the same thing. He's talking about looking with someone with lust is the same thing as adultery. Once again, it's the heart issue. And Jesus wraps this all up and really starts talking about what is the foundation of your life. What is the foundation of your life? Now, Paul talks about the foundation here being Jesus Christ. That in here, look, everything apart from Jesus Christ doesn't matter. You know, it's not wealth, it's fame, it's not prestige, none of these things. My own happiness isn't laid down as a foundation in my life, but by faith in Jesus Christ. You know, we talk about those who have passed away, and it's just a reminder of how important it is to have your life right with God. That when we stand before God, he says, why should I let you into heaven? It's not because I was good. It's not because I put something in the offering plate. It wasn't because I helped somebody out. But it's only because I've accepted Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for my sin. And I've given him my life. And I pray that you have all done that this morning. That's the foundation. And that's what Paul talks about here. It says, for no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. It says, now if anyone builds on this foundation of gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through by fire. And so what Paul is talking about here, look, once I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, the things I do in my life are building my life. And each one of us as a Christian is going to stand before God, and he says that our works will be tested by fire. The things I've done for myself will be like wood, hay, and stubble. It'll be, woof, it'll be gone. The things I've done for Christ will endure, and those things will be the gold, silver, and precious stones. And often I wonder, when I stand before Christ and all my life, you know, I've reached a point in my life where I start thinking back on some of the things I have done. You know, probably gearing up for a midlife crisis, I don't know. But you get to a point of like, wow, you know, am I where I thought I would be? Have I done everything I thought I would? And sometimes I wonder, when God takes that fire upon the things of my life, of really, how many things of substance have I done for him? Because, boys, I think I've wasted a lot of time on me. But praise God, here in 1 Corinthians, Paul reassures us that, look, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he is that foundation. And though everything can be lost, we are saved because he is that foundation. But Jesus goes a little bit different direction with this. In Matthew chapter 7, if you got there this morning, verses 24 starts off. It says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." It's interesting because each one of these cases, what he's talking about here, and I remember as a kid learning a little song. Nancy, you knew I was going to say this, right? You know, the wise man built his house upon the rock. And I remember going to the Bible school, and we're going through the book of Matthew, and the professor asked us, he goes, "Who is the wise man?" And we all said, "He who built his house on the rock." And the professor said, "You're wrong." I'm like, "What? I know the song." He says, "Read it again." Notice what it says here. "Therefore, whoever what? Hears these sayings of mine and does them." And what Jesus is saying here at the end of his sermon, he goes, "If you will do what I've asked you to do, you're a wise man or lady. And by doing these things, you have that as that foundation in which you build your life on." And it says, look, everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them. Right? If you know the word of God, if you know what's right and wrong, the Bible says if you know what's right and don't do it, it's sin. And you are foolish. And each one of these cases, the Bible tells us something very clear. What? The storms will come into your life. I know that there's some preachers out there that'll tell you, look, if you just have enough faith, if you're just walking close enough with Jesus, nothing bad will ever happen to you. Can I tell you something? That is, and I think the technical Greek term for that is hogwash. Jesus warned us, in this world you will have tribulations. You can go through and look at the major characters of the scriptures, and time again, there is trouble and tribulation in their life. Book of Job, a man familiar with troubles and tribulation, says this. It says, "A man is born of woman, and his days are few and full of trouble." Folks, storms will come into your life. The question is, are you prepared for it? We're gearing up, you know. 2 weeks ago today, we were in Florida, and it was semi-warm. I was disappointed because everyone talks about lizards down there. My wife saw a lizard. My daughter saw a lizard. I didn't see a lizard. I looked. They said they're everywhere. I couldn't find one, but. But they were talking about down there, you know, they say how Florida is wonderful and perfect in so many different ways. He goes, except for the hurricanes. And where my mother was staying, they haven't had a major hurricane for several years, but they're waiting for one. They said, it will come. And he showed some pictures of one of the last ones who came through and just the devastation that happened. And sometimes we get lulled in a safe sense of security. Maybe things are going well in your life right now. I can't help but think, as a nation, we had enjoyed several decades of peace, relatively speaking. I think we've enjoyed God's blessings because of the foundation this country was founded on. But folks, we have gone so far off of that. And I believe there is a storm brewing. I think we're living in some of those things. How will your life stand? See, storms come in a couple of different ways. One is hardship. Right? Life is hard. And trouble comes our way. I don't know if you guys noticed, but your dollar can't buy what it used to buy. Now, like I said, we were just down in Florida, and I was watching the temperatures up here, and you know, I saw like negative 13, and so I was like, and I remember when I left, we had like about a half tank of fuel oil when we left, and I was like, uh-oh. So I actually called the oil company. I said, look, I need you to come and deliver oil for us. Because I don't want to come home to, you know, frozen pipes and all that. That'd be extra hardship on top of everything else. And they came and they filled up the tank. And when I came back, right, first thing I saw right after vacation was the fuel bill for filling up a tank that was almost empty. If I say I'm coming, Elizabeth, I don't know how you guys would get that reference. Have a heart attack. Things are hard. Wife comes home from grocery shopping and said, you know, she can't find what things she was looking for before. The shelves are empty and bare. And what's there is cost twice as much. Things are hard. Families are scraping. Difficulties have come. Life is full of hardships. I just talked to a gentleman the other day, and things got compounded on him. His vehicle broke down. Then on top of that, because it broke down on the road and the snow came, the town towed it away. And so he goes, yeah, just, you know, ever feel that way? Just feel like things kind of get heaped on? The storms will come. How about the storms of loss? Even this morning we asked for prayer. We talk about several families who have loved ones who have passed away. Of people suffering not just from COVID, but cancer and heart issues, of sickness. A big part of this vacation goes down spending time with my mom, which I'm thankful for because she was having the heart issues before we got down there. It's good to see her from my own eyes. And her husband is struggling with cancer. And he's in the throes of chemotherapy right now, and he's not doing well with it. That's hard. That's so hard. I just had a conversation with someone this week who were just like, look, when you pray that God would just give me a break, you know, they just lost someone, and now their mom's is hurt and is in the hospital right now, and things are just kind of snowballed. They're like, look, these things are just coming at us. We just pray that the storm will stop. And one thing I've learned over the years is oftentimes God doesn't calm the storms, but he sees us through them. But those are storms in our lives. And notice what Jesus said. Look, when the winds and the waves come upon, right, they come crashing in. It doesn't stop, you know. Just yesterday with the blizzard, I told my neighbor that I would help take care of her cat because she was out of town. So I stepped up and just walked across the street. Wasn't far at all. And it was probably, I don't know, it was probably about 7 o'clock at night. So it was dark. The wind was blustery. It was, I couldn't even see where I was going. Came down and the end of the road, we had 2 feet of snow had blown in there. I stepped on that and there was ice underneath it. So I went down and tumbled. Like, oh. So as soon as I got up, the wind kit busted up, and it was nasty out. It felt like sandblasting, you know. So I had to turn, and of course, I was like, I was just in Florida a week ago. So, I got thin blood after a week. Of course, I went out without, you know, anything covering my ears. I just had a hat on, and my ears were just beet red, and they were sore. I mean, it wasn't far at all. Maybe I'm just wimpy. But it just seems like it's just one thing after another, right? You ever feel that way? That's the way storms work in our lives. And maybe the storm that's coming into your life is persecution. And I know some of you, I've talked with some of you, and over the years, some of the difficulties you've had, maybe because of family, because you're a Christian, because you take a stand on God's word, that they have ostracized you. Maybe because of your conviction, you're not invited to things. Maybe they talk about you. I was going to say behind your back, but a lot of times it's family. They'll talk right to your face. And it's hard. And we see the society shifting, right? I've never seen it go so quickly away from biblical principles. As a nation, they're kind of thumbing their nose at God. And that can be hard. And the pressures are great. And people are walking away. The storms of his life are going to come. They are going to hit you. The question is, will you stand or will you fall? And all that, it depends. Are you standing on the firm foundation? Are you on the rock or are you on the sand? See, sand is really deceptive. When we were down in Florida, we went down to the beach, and I was like, you know, because the beach up here, you got a little bit of sand, but it's mostly rocky. The water's really cold. We're like, all right, while we're down here, we're going to find, you know, a warm ocean, and we're going to frolic in the ocean. Well, it didn't quite work that way. We got down there, it was windy and rainy, and the winds, the waves were just beating up against us, and we were probably the only ones on the beach because we're from away, and we're just foolish. And they were putting flags up that said, you know, watch out for the currents and be careful of the dangerous waves. And one of them I never looked at before, it says, be careful of stinging animals. And I was like, oh, we don't have those up here. And went out on the beach, and actually there was the man of war, Portuguese man of war jellyfish were washing up on the shore. And you don't step on those. I wasn't sure what it was. At first I thought it was a baggie. I went to pick it up and I was like, I probably shouldn't do that. I'm glad I didn't. But we're standing there on the shore and the waves were coming in and this beautiful sandy beach, and we're standing there and all of a sudden Lauren just about toppled over. I'm like, you know, what's wrong? So I was like, what's wrong with you? And then I did that. The wave came up and here I was standing on the sand and the wave came up and it got caught at my heel and it dug out all the sand that was underneath my heel. And I almost went over backwards. It seemed pretty solid, pretty secure until what? The storm came. And so many people have been doing their own thing, hearing the words of Jesus and not doing them. And they wonder why their lives are ruined when the storm comes. And Jesus warns you. Look, to build a firm foundation. Before he says what? You hear my words and do it. First one is to hear God's word. No, you guys are here this morning, and I appreciate that so much. And hopefully the purpose of why you're here is that you can hear God's word, not to hear me. Romans tells us, so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. To seek out God's word. You know, so time and time again, when things are going on in life, we pray for wisdom. Lord, show me, and I search out your word. How can I take your word and apply it to my situation? What does your word say about being a husband, about being a wife, about being a father? Lord, what does your word say to be a citizen? You know, it's amazing what the Word of God says so much about all the areas of our lives. If we will seek it out, what does the Bible say? I remember years ago, there was a gentleman who was going through some struggles in his marriage. And he came to me and goes, Pastor, can you recommend a good book for me to read that will help me save my marriage? I said, how about the Bible? He goes, no. He goes, I want a real book. Like, dude, there is nothing better. Read God's word. Know God's word. Study God's word. Okay, how many times we talk about during our Bible studies on Tuesday nights at 6:30, make a plug here. If we're sitting around saying, how come more people don't come? This is good stuff. I never knew this before. Of learning God's word. And by that, increase our faith. Hosea is warned. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also have rejected you from being priests for me. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Folks, you know, it's so amazing to me that we have so much information available to us at a touch of our finger. And yet so many people do not know the basics of the scriptures. We've lost it. From our pulpits, we hear things that encourage us. We hear things that sort of tickle our fancies. We don't hear the full counsel of God in so many places. Pastors are afraid to offend instead of standing on the word. And they're doing their churches a disservice because it's the word of God. When it's applied to people's life, that will change things. The book of Judges tells us the story over and over again. Judges, that we see the cycle of apostasy. We see Israel doing well, then they leave God. Then God sends a nation to take them into bondage, and the people repent, and God delivers them, and they see the cycle go through. And we see this in Judges chapter 2. It says, when that generation had been gathered together to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. And Israel, children of Israel, did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. There was a generation that grew up who did not know God. And folks, we need to pray for this country. Because our young people are growing up in a generation that do not know God. They don't know him. Their families aren't coming to church. They don't come to Sunday school. They're so involved in all these other things and bombarded with all this woke philosophy of the world that they are ignorant of God's word, which is the true thing for them to stand on. And in here, I believe that our nation will fall because of these things. Jesus says, look, I want you to hear my word, but hearing doesn't do enough, right? You got to hear it, then you have to do it. Actually, Jesus says this. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things in which I say? Right? How can we turn around and say, Lord, I love you, and I don't do what he asks us to do? How can you say that you're a Christian when you disregard the commandments of God? It doesn't compute. This is what I was looking for. James says this, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. Don't be just someone who hears God's word. Years ago, middle of the night, there's a knock on the door. Big blizzard was going on. And I answered the door, and there's a guy there, drunk as a skunk. You can just smell the alcohol off him. And he goes, you got to give me a ride home. And I'm like, how did the guy, I have no idea where this guy came from, how he showed up on my doorstep. But he goes, you got to take me home. I said, well, hold on a second. So I go upstairs. My wife's like, who's that? I said, some guy who needs a ride home. She goes, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to give him a ride home. So we got into the car. We started backing up. He goes, you're the pastor of the church, aren't you? I said, yeah. He goes, I figured that. I knew the last guy who lived here. He goes, what have I told you? I knew more of the Bible than you did. And I was like, I would probably say you do. And he started saying, well, what's this verse? He rattled off a reference. And I'm like, God, you just woke me up. My brain isn't going yet. Hold on. And he goes, oh, and he started throwing the verse. He goes, I grew up in church. I memorized the verses. He goes, I probably have about half the Bible memorized. He goes, I know so much more of the Bible than you do. And I probably wasn't as gracious as I probably should have been. And I looked at him and I said, so how much of it are you doing? And he got real quiet. Folks, you can have all the head knowledge in the world, but if you're not doing it, then what good is it? Right? You're building your life on sand. It will shift. When the storms come, you will have nothing firm to stand on. But meanwhile, we got to his house, or a house, I don't know if it's his house, and there's a big party going on. A lot of people were coming and going out of that. And he goes, well, thank you for the ride. I said, wait a minute, you got me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. He goes, I'm coming in. So I turned off the car, went inside, and a big party going on, sat down with about 3 or 4 different drunk guys, and we started talking about it, and I shared the gospel with them. Came home about 3 hours later. My wife was a nervous wreck. She goes, where have you been for 3 hours? She goes, last I knew, you went off with a drunk guy and never came back. Oops. But it's not what you know, it's what you do. Are you doing what you know? Several years ago, I was listening to a pastor who got up. He goes, I'm not going to tell you anything new this morning. He goes, I just want you to do one thing for me. He goes, do the things you already know. I thought, wow, that's profound. You know, we always need new information. Pastor, feed us. Tell us something we haven't heard before. And when the important thing is for us is to do what we've already known. Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instructions in righteousness. This is a wonderful verse because what it tells us is the Bible is good for telling us what is true. That's what doctrine is. What's true and what's not. You know what this world needs right now is a big dose of truth. Right? I'm getting really sick of, you know, these, you know, fact checkers and all, right? I mean, we're just bombarded with twisted lies and distortions, and it's just par for the course. God's word doesn't change. It is true, always has been true, always will be true. For reproof, it tells me what is wrong. Right? Doctrine tells me what is true. To be reproof, it tells me what I'm wrong. When I'm doing things that are wrong, I need to know it. Right? I don't always like to be told that I am wrong. But I need to know it. The Bible shines a light on it. The Bible tells me to make correction. It's what, how to make things right. I always think of this as you know, you're riding down the road and you fall off your bike. Correction tells you how to get back on. And when I get off the path, how do I get back on? Right, when I wander off, when I walk away from the faith that I should live, right, when I do what's wrong, how do I get back? The Bible tells me how to do that. And then it says, for instruction of righteousness is how to stay right. How not to go on the wrong path to begin with. The Word of God is complete in all these things. And the last thing it says, right, to hear God's Word, to apply it, then I need to remain in it. I need to remain in it. Be faithful. Peter warns us to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Right? Satan is out running around, and he's trying to scare us. He's trying to discourage us. He's trying to intimidate us. And what he wants us to do is walk off the path. Years ago, I hope my brother doesn't hear this. Years ago, we were visiting a lady, and us kids were all, she told us to go sit on the couch, so we sat on the couch, and my brother sat on this blanket that was there, and underneath this blanket was this little chihuahua. Now, chihuahuas seem like they're nice and cuddly and all that, but they're vicious little critters. And that little chihuahua bit my brother right in the behind. And he stood up, and this little chihuahua was hanging there, for a couple years, every time we were over at this lady's house, this little chihuahua remembered my brother and would come running. And it was so funny to see my big brother, my big strapping brother, running from this little chihuahua. And we're just like, just don't run. Right? All the rest of us, none of us would run, but he would run, and the chihuahua, aha, you go after him. See, folks, Satan has our number. What he wants us to do is run. Run from the truth. Run from the God we love. And when he does that, folks, it's like sand being washed out from under us. But praise God, he is faithful. Jude tells us, now to him who is able to keep us from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. We serve a God who is able to keep us from falling. Right, Lord, I don't know what to do. Let me just hang on to you. Lord, I feel overwhelmed. Lord, just help me hang on to you. Do you see a pattern here? Lord, I don't know where to go. Lord, just help me to stand. Help me not to run, but help me be faithful. Help me not to grow weary in well-doing, as Paul tells the Galatians. Don't grow weary while doing good. For in due season you will reap if you do not lose heart. And I know, I'll tell you, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to do the right thing. It's hard to do what God wants you to do. Especially when it's so much easier and everyone seems to get away with it. As the old hymn says, though the wrong seems off so strong, God is the ruler yet. I want to encourage you this morning. Here we go. That's the second time I've done that. But I want to encourage you. Folks, be a wise person. And cling to God's word and hear it and do it and be faithful to it. I thought it was interesting. I heard statistics that talk about during this whole COVID pandemic that's going on. That, you know, the one group that have done better than anyone else in dealing with it mentally than any other group are those who have faith. And that makes sense. Because I know I serve a God who's in control. I know that I serve a God who watches over me. I know I serve a God who cares for me. And I will do what he wants me to do. And those who are wandering in this world, who are following after things of this world, look, it's shifting sand. You almost have to get a memo today of what's acceptable and what's not, what's offended and what's not offendable, right? Every day it's changing. And Jesus wraps this up. I love this. Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 and 29 says, and so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And Jesus wraps up this sermon. And people are just kind of dumbfounded. We've never heard anything like this before. Jesus spoke with authority. You know, the scribes and the Pharisees, they would go on and talk about, oh, this teacher said that, this was our misunderstanding, and this is kind of what we understand what the law is, and all these things. And Jesus said, no, this is it. See, we're not here to follow someone's religion, someone's understanding, someone's philosophy. We want to follow Jesus. Jesus, speak to me. Lord, I'm listening. The word of God has authority. Lord, help me stand on it. Help me claim it. All through the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, it is a light. It is our path. Lord, it is our rock. It is all. And we lean on these things to learn of you. Lord, give us wisdom to do what is right. Lord, give us wisdom to know what is wrong. And Lord, help us to stand on it. Lord, this world is sifting sand. And it will fail. It will collapse. But Lord, those who stand on you, Lord, will endure. Lord, help me to endure and be people of the word. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.